are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Brian Peacock, your host. I'm taking you through the annual Locked On 49ers mock draft, featuring various hosts and writers around the internet picking for their teams that they follow closely. So it's not just me willy-nilly throwing out picks, ill-informed Brian Peacock making picks for every team in the league. We've got well-informed people that are plugged into their cities and their teams making these selections as we roll through the mock draft. And we've got picks one and two in the books. If you missed those, number one overall going to Cleveland as chosen by Jeff Lloyd, who is the host of Locked On Browns, taking quarterback Sam Darnold out of USC. And number two overall is Quentin Nelson, guard from Notre Dame, selected by Patricia Traina, who is sitting in for the New York Giants. So that was pick two. And that brings us to pick three and four. We're going to get both of those picks in today. And before we get to that, just a few 49ers-related notes before we turn it over to John Butchko, who's going to be picking for the Jets, and then Jeff Lloyd. We already kind of have an idea of what's going on there at pick number four. Thought there was maybe going to be some trades happening in this mock draft for the first time, but that did not come to fruition. We'll talk a little bit more about that as we get to pick number four. But first, let's go to Matt Barrows, who had the scoop about Nevada offensive tackle Austin Corbett is visiting the 49ers, worked out with the Niners. He will likely play guard in the NFL. Corbett, a prospect that could come off the board late second, early third round range, I think, which is a nice spot, I think, for the 49ers to get themselves an offensive lineman, probably a versatile offensive lineman who could start at guard and either play some tackle or start at guard and also play some center would be my expectation if they do draft an offensive lineman in that day two area. And this is a quote from that Matt Barrows article on Austin Corbett from Kyle Shanahan, who was talking about how he views offensive linemen. He said, quote, "Everyone thinks we like small guards. I just like people who can move. If you're 400 pounds and can move, I'd rather have that than a guy that's 300 pounds and can move the same. The problem is that most really heavy guys can't move." So, yeah, he likes athletes. And that's the number one thing. So don't be mocking the 49ers and offensive linemen who can't move. And but size, you know, like a lot of talk about Quentin Nelson, and he's off the board in this mock draft, but there's a chance he could be at number nine on draft day. And he can move. He can move just fine, even though it's 330 pounds. A lot of people talking about maybe he doesn't fit for the 49ers. No, the dude's a stud. He's fine athletically. He tested up there with some of the most athletic guards we've seen in recent history in the draft. So the guy's a freak. The guy's a phenomenal football player, and he'd be an absolutely great fit, I think, and I think Shanahan would love to draft Quentin Nelson if he was still there at pick nine. That's my opinion of the situation. Speaking of offensive linemen, Frank Ragnow, if you listen to the show or follow me on Twitter, you know he's one of my favorite offensive linemen in the draft. He started at center a lot at Arkansas, also started at guard. A lot of production, a lot of starting experience at both of those spots at Arkansas. And he's a very athletic guy, but he ended the year hurt at Arkansas. And I think that's why we haven't heard his name as much with draft media coming into this thing. And he hadn't worked out at the combine, but he did finally work out at Arkansas's pro day. And this is from an article. I don't remember where I found it, but it broke down what his numbers were now that he finally got to work out at Arkansas's pro day. Vertical jump, 33.5 inches. A broad jump, 9 feet, 7 inches. Those would have both ranked second among offensive linemen at the combine. And his 40-yard dash, which is a really good time for an offensive lineman to be sub-5, it's 4.98, which would have been fifth amongst offensive linemen at the combine. And the dude's 6'4", 213, or 313 pounds, so he's not small either. So the fact that he can move like that, I've seen him get out to the second level on tape watching those Arkansas games. Really great player. I love Frank Ragnow. Could start at guard. Could be someone who starts at center down the road. And with that length, he's got surprising length, 33-inch arm length, 6'4". A little over 6'4", 313 pounds. He could play a little right tackle, I bet, too. I really like Frank Ragnow. Would love the fit for him with the 49ers, somewhere between that 59 and 74 range, late day two, early day three. Similar range, they're probably looking at Austin Corbett as well. And this from Chris Biederman to wrap up something that was a question earlier this week, and it's about those meetings and the team meetings and how much the 49ers went and drafted the players that they were meeting with last year. So from the pre-draft meetings from the 49ers in 2017, and this again from Chris Biederman, Reuben Foster, George Kittle, Akella Witherspoon, and Elijah Lee were all players that they brought in. They didn't draft Elijah Lee. He was pulled off of Minnesota's practice squad. So drafted three of those guys and brought in another guy later in Elijah Lee. And then Solomon Thomas, you all know the story that he had a class at Stanford with John Lynch, and he would have not have counted against their workouts, the 30 workouts that you get with prospects, because the 49ers could meet with him at the local pro day because he went to Stanford. So they definitely knew Solomon Thomas well. So both first rounders they knew really well and had personal meetings with those guys and personal contact, as well as George Kittle, fifth round pick, and Witherspoon, third round pick, and Elijah Lee, who they picked up off the practice squad from Minnesota. So yeah, a lot of players that they met with there. And of course, they met with a lot of players they didn't draft either. So it's not a guarantee that they are going to take someone that they met with pre-draft. But there is some precedent there that they are meeting with these players probably because they like them and they want to get to know them better if they're going to draft them and bring them in-house. Okay, let's move it along. Let's get to pick three in this Locked On 49ers mock draft. New York Jets are on the clock. My guest today is John Buchko. He is a writer at Gangrene Nation and the host right here on the Locked On Podcast Network for Locked On Jets. He's standing in for the New York Jets. We're at pick number three now in our annual Locked On 49ers mock draft. John, really appreciate you joining the show, man.
Great to be here.
So let's see. I guess the first thing we have to do is get into the head of the New York Jets, and you're standing in today for GM Mike Maccagnan. And so just from your experience following the Jets, what's he like as a GM? What do you expect is an overall pattern that he might be looking to do here in the 2018 draft?
Well, I think it's pretty clear the Jets are going to be taking a quarterback with the third overall pick. I think that the price that they paid to move up from 6 to 3, they traded 3 second-round picks, 2 of which they own this year, and then next year's second rounder. I don't think you pay that price to move up three spots unless you're taking a quarterback and unless you have 3 guys that you feel comfortable taking, depending on how the draft breaks down. The Jets, it's no secret, the Jets have been searching for a franchise quarterback for a long time, and in recent years they've used some high draft picks on quarterbacks. They've used, you go back almost a decade, you have Mark Sanchez, who did have his moments. He did put together some big moments in playoff games that they won, but ultimately was not a long-term solution. They picked Geno Smith in the second round back in 2013, and he never really grew into the guy they were hoping he'd become. And then just 2 years ago, they used a second-round pick on Christian Hackenberg, who hasn't even taken a snap in a regular season. He's really shown you so little that he may be cut before he ever plays a snap with this team in a regular season game. And that's how bad he's looked in training camp and preseason. And I think, as everybody knows, you need more than a quarterback to win the NFL, but a quarterback's an essential ingredient. And until you have one, you've got to be looking for the guy. So I think it's pretty clear the Jets are going to be taking a quarterback with this number 3 overall pick.
You mentioned the trade there, and the timing was, I think, at first it was surprising and a little odd. And then the more I think about the Jets trade up with the Colts from 6 to 3 was maybe even genius, because maybe some other teams were still scattered and their boards weren't really set, and maybe they were waiting to see what would happen, say, at pick 3, and then offer a trade to move up. And the Colts might have sat there at 3 and thought, well, you know, 3 second-round picks is pretty good, but the Bills are offering future firsts and multiple firsts this year, and so we'd rather take that trade. So on one hand, you don't know who's going to be there at 3 yet, but on the other hand, you might have thwarted some other attempts from other teams to go in front of the Jets, right?
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, I was thinking, I had the same reaction when I first heard about the trade. I was surprised that they moved up that far before the draft. But then I thought about it a little bit more, and there are definitely trades you can remember that took place before the draft. The RG3 trade Washington made, probably the one that matches this the most, would be the move the Eagles made a couple of years ago to move up for Carson Wentz, because when they moved up for the second pick, and they did not know whether Goff or Wentz was going to be there, and you kind of got the sense that they were comfortable with either guy. So I think it made sense for the Colts to make the deal, because I think the Colts clearly wanted to move down. They feel comfortable that Andrew Luck is going to be back for them, which means they're out of the quarterback sweepstakes. And if you keep that pick and you hold on until draft day, there's a chance maybe you get more than what the Jets are offering you, but there's also a chance that nobody's willing to make a deal with you. You know, the quarterback another team may want, maybe off the board. So it may have just been a situation where the Colts decided, we're going to make sure we get something of value for this pick, and we're just going to give it to the highest bidder, and this is the date we're willing to make the trade.
And the Colts might have been thinking, look, we like at least three non-quarterbacks, and if we're not taking a quarterback here, and we're pretty darn sure three quarterbacks are going to get taken in the top six picks, we're still picking from the group of players we would have anyway. And then on top of that, maybe there's still more trade down value from pick six. So it makes sense from the Colts' perspective as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it makes a lot of sense from the Colts' perspective. And the other advantage the Jets had was that they own the sixth overall pick, so it's not like you're asking the Colts to drop into the 20s. You're not asking them to drop into the teens, as you said. They can still get one of their top players on the board.
Yeah, that's a great point. So it might not, you know, maybe they're thinking, okay, look, we want to get something for this, but we don't want to go back that far because we want to draft from this top tier of players that we have. So all the trading and stuff aside, it looks like, I mean, there was a weird NFL Network show that they talked about the Jets trading down again from 3 with the Eagles for Nick Foles and 32 or something crazy, which was an idiotic proposal, I thought. But I just thought it was funny if the Jets moved up to 3 and then moved back again and kind of got the value for that the Colts might have been able to get before. But obviously none of that's happened. The Jets moved up to 3 for a reason. They're most likely taking a quarterback. Before I put you on the clock and have you make that selection, I want to ask you if the Jets fan base has, like, because you know how NFL fans are, and they tend to get crazy when it comes to the draft, and I'm sure there's like a groupthink mentality that's coming in here, and especially when the draft would have been in New York, that would have been a fun event, especially with two New York teams drafting in the top three this year, but the draft is in Dallas this year. But is there a player that the Jets fan base has really gravitated towards, and there's one guy that they really hope that the Jets are going to take at number 3, and if they don't, they might freak out?
You know, it's kind of funny because it seems to be a very divisive issue among this fan base. You have your Sam Darnold fans, you have your Josh Rosen fans. Baker Mayfield fans are very passionate. I think the one guy I've kind of seen that the fans want is the quarterback of Wyoming, Josh Allen. And I think fans are still a little scarred by the Christian Hackenberg experience. Now, I don't think that Allen and Hackenberg is an apples-to-apples comparison, but in Hackenberg you had a guy who was not that successful in college. I mean, low completion percentage. And I think fans look at Allen and they see shades of Hackenberg. I would argue that in some ways that's not totally fair. I think as long as the Jets avoid taking Allen, you're going to have a pretty happy fan base. Now, somebody may have Darnold number one, somebody may have Rosen number one, somebody may have Mayfield number one. But I think if the Jets take one of those three guys, most people are going to be pretty happy with the selection.
Yeah, when free agency happened, I wish I was Allen Robinson's agent, because the only thing he has to do to sell himself to teams and be like, hey, look what I did for Christian Hackenberg and then Blake Bortles, right? I guess it's time to put you on the clock, right? So there's not much to talk about here because we know the position's going to be quarterback, and we kind of know who the players are that are going to be in contention. And for those listening that don't remember, Sam Darnold was selected number one overall by Cleveland. That was done by Jeff Lloyd, host of Locked On Browns. And then Patricia Traina, who is co-host of Locked On Giants, came on with pick number 2 and selected guard from Notre Dame, Quentin Nelson, at number 2. So that brings us to pick number 3 with the 3rd selection in the annual Locked On 49ers mock draft. John Butchko standing in for the New York Jets. And they select...
We're going to select Josh Rosen, the quarterback out of UCLA. And I think this is kind of the dream scenario in mind. They made their trade up to get the 3rd overall pick. I think they were hoping either Darnold or Rosen would drop. I think in Rosen what you get is a guy who is probably the most polished passer in the draft at this point. And, I mean, I think that Baker Mayfield does have a large contingent of Jets fans who want him, as I said, but I just think Rosen is so much more polished as a passer. Now, you have concerns about maybe his durability, maybe have an issue there, here or there, but I just think what he brings to the table at this point is kind of an obvious pick, and I don't really have a lot of analysis beyond that, just because I think if Rosen's there at 3, the Jets are taking Rosen. I don't think there's really much room for debate on that.
Yeah, that's what I would do if I was the Jets sitting at this spot and the way I'm looking at these quarterbacks. And I do like Mayfield a lot. It's funny because a year ago at this time, I loved Mayfield and I was thinking, oh man, this is the guy that's going to be that 2nd or 3rd round steal. And then maybe top 5, I'm thinking, wow, that's actually kind of rich even as much as I like Mayfield. So it's going to be interesting to see how these teams shake this out. And I've got to believe every team kind of ranks these guys slightly different. And I do believe it's going to be Darnold 1, and then we'll see how they fall in behind that. I would still actually be surprised if the Giants don't go quarterback at number 2. But so if Rosen is the guy they like second most, do you think that it was pretty obvious when they made this trade that they at least liked 3 quarterbacks enough to take that high in the draft?
Yes, I do. I think that I don't see how you would make this trade unless there were 3 guys that you liked. I know you kind of alluded to this. I've heard this wild theory that the Jets are going to move down and get more than the Colts got. And I mean, I think that's just overthinking it. There's no way you can't make this trade with the idea that you're going to be able to get more than the Colts got, because yeah, maybe it's possible in theory, but you also have to think about this logically. Why wouldn't the other team have just given the Colts the offer that trumped the Jets' offer? So I think it's pretty clear the Jets do like at least three of these quarterbacks, maybe 4. Now, the 4 guys they've been working out very frequently. They've gone to pro days. They've had private workouts on campus. They brought these guys in. Darnold, Rosen, Mayfield, Allen. So I think they like at least 3. It's possible they like 4, but yeah, I would think it's safe to say that there are like 3 of these quarterbacks they're comfortable with. I think the sense I get is that Rosen's a guy that would really love to fall to 9-3.
Do you get the feeling, and there were reports that the Jets didn't even call the Giants to make a trade up to number 2. Do you think that there's a possibility that the Jets have an idea that the Giants might not at all be taking a quarterback? Or on the other side of things, is it a situation where maybe the Jets and Giants just aren't friendly and wouldn't ever make a trade, so they didn't even try?
Yeah, I think it's the second of the 2 options that you laid out, and I'm not sure there's necessarily a constructive way for these 2 franchises to operate, but I think if this was on the other foot, I don't think the Jets would facilitate the Giants getting a franchise quarterback. And I really think that the Giants would struggle. If you understand that, if you're familiar with the dynamics between the New York franchises, the way the city works, the way the fan bases interact, I think it would be difficult for the Giants, with their fans, to live down the idea that they helped the Jets find their franchise quarterback. So I just don't think it's going to happen because of the dynamics between the 2 franchises. And again, I don't think that that's necessarily the way I would operate if I was running one of these teams, but I think that's the way it is.
That is John Butchko, selecting Josh Rosen, quarterback from UCLA, number 3 overall in this Locked On 49ers slow-moving annual mock draft. We've got Darnold 1, Quentin Nelson 2, Josh Rosen now number 3, and that brings the Cleveland Browns back up on the clock. And John, I do want to thank you for joining me here once again. If you know anybody out there who is a Jets fan, make sure they are plugged in and they are subscribing to Locked On Jets and reading John's stuff over at Gangrene Nation. John, I really appreciate the time, man.
Can't wait to come on next year.
Hopefully not picking as high, right?
Right, yeah. Well, you know, the joke is you always hope you're picking 32.
Right, exactly. You know, what's funny is the Jets pick at 6 is the one that I was thinking, man, if Garoppolo just wouldn't have played so well and maybe they would have lost one more game, the Niners could have been picking up in that zone and had a little bit more value with their pick.
Well, I don't think you can complain for the way the season unfolded for the 49ers, though. That was one heck of a... You know, if you're going to have a losing season, that's the way to do it, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think every 49er fan out there is just fine with dropping down a little bit in the draft and already having their quarterback and avoiding what you're going through right now with is probably the QB wars amongst fans.
That's right.
All right, cool. Hey, great talking to you, John. I appreciate it. And yeah, talk to you again soon.
Sounds good.
All right, there you have it. Thanks to John for joining the show, making that pick for the Jets. Josh Rosen is number 3 overall in this Locked On 49ers annual mock draft. That brings us to pick number 4, Jeff Lloyd back on the clock. And if you listen to the episode where he picked at number 1, he told us what he wanted to do it for. And I talked to Kevin Massar, who's the host of Locked On Bills, and he's going to fill in and pick for the Bills at number 12 in this draft. And I thought, ooh, we might have a trade coming here with the Bills moving up with the Cleveland Browns to pick number 4. But since 3 quarterbacks didn't go in the first 3 picks, and there's still 2 quarterbacks left that Kevin feels the Bills would be in on, they don't want to pay the price to go up to number 4, so they're going to gamble that nobody else gets into the number 4 slot and that nobody else gets into the number 6 slot if maybe the Broncos draft quarterback at number 5, so they're able to spend a little bit less to move up. I think that's a risky proposition, and to have your pick of those 2 quarterbacks, I think that would be worth it for the Bills that have accumulated all this draft capital and have the ability to move up. I think that's playing with fire a little bit, trying to get a little too cute to pay a little bit less to move up. But we'll see if that's how it happens on draft day, and we'll see if that works out for Kevin and the Bills in this mock draft. And then we might have to talk a little trade at pick number 9 if there's still one of those quarterbacks available at that point. But we're on to pick number 4, and this is what Jeff Lloyd had to say about that selection for the Cleveland Browns.
Me personally here, I think the first name you're going to think about, me personally, obviously it's not going to work for the sake of what you're doing here. I'm going to pedal for, because if it's a quarterback-heavy draft, I'm certainly going to put it out there. And if I can get enough of a return where, you know, Buffalo would be the team I'd look for, if I could get 12 and 22 and I can get those two guys, I'll go that route. If I'm going to stay at 4, I'm going to go pass rusher. Bradley Chubb is a guy everybody loves, and I do. I love Bradley Chubb's all-around game. But Harold Landry out of Boston College is a better pass rusher. Wow. And that is what I need with Cleveland. I have Emmanuel Ogbob, who was essentially the defensive MVP last year for the Cleveland Browns up until he got hurt. You know, he's not the elite pass rusher, but his run D was fantastic. I've already got Myles Garrett. Some people want to knock Harold Landry. Oh, you know, I don't know how big of a presence he is in the run game. If I take Harold Landry at 4, he doesn't necessarily have to play on first down. I've got my D line for first and 10. I need more juice for 2nd and 9 and 3rd and 7. I need to bring more pass rush because my secondary is good, but I don't have shutdown cover guys. And we saw this later in the year where Cleveland was playing everybody 8 to 10 yards off the line of scrimmage. The safety was 25 yards off. They knew their pass rush wasn't going to get home. So they tried to keep everything in front of them, go with the bend, but they'll break approach. I get a guy like Harold Landry coming off of one edge, and I have Myles Garrett who can go inside or can obviously kill it from the outside. We all know that. I have Emmanuel Ogba. They signed Smith from Cincinnati who can rotate on a nickel and dime in front and get some penetration. As much as I love Bradley Chubb's game, and I do think he's going to be a solid pro, I want sacks. I want, you know, I want disruption, you know, in the pass defensive game, and I think that I'm going to get more bang for my buck from Harold Landry. And I'll take Harold Landry at 4, knowing that I don't have, you know, maybe he isn't a 3-down player, which is fine with me because I'm not going to play him. He's not going to have to be a 3-down player for me. I want him rested to go on 2nd and long and 3rd down passing situations.
There you have it. Top 4 picks are now in the book. We are on to pick number 5 next week. We're going to talk to Cody Rourke, standing in for John Elway and the Denver Broncos, and we'll be selecting at number 5. To recap all the picks so far, number 1 overall to Cleveland, Sam Darnold, quarterback from USC. Number 2, Quentin Nelson from Notre Dame to the New York Giants. New York Jets picking 3rd, took another quarterback from California, UCLA signal caller Josh Rosen goes to the New York Jets. And pick number 4, the biggest shocker, the first big shocker in this mock draft, Harold Landry getting selected to the Cleveland Browns at pick number 4 overall. And that brings us to pick number 5 and the Denver Broncos on Monday. All right, talk to you guys then right here on Locked On 49ers.